word of mouth has been the main thing. Because people come in, people go to work on Monday. But, hey, what you do this week? This week, oh, I went through an axe. Like, they want to tell, even if they didn't like it that much, they're still going to tell you that they did it.
Yeah.
Just because it was so new and so different.
You're listening to Going Deep with Aaron Watson. Get down. Going deep.
All right, Jack, thank you for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I want to start off by just painting a picture of your venue in Millvale, Lumberjacks and Sliders Curling. Take us through just what this 6,000 square foot facility that you guys have.
Yeah, it's roughly like 6,000 square feet. It's an old warehouse that we turned into an axe throwing venue at first. It was when we opened it up, it was very industrial. It was filthy. There was a lot of old stuff in there. A guy had, was pretty much just renting out bays. So there was like woodworking going on, welding.
Yeah.
There was just crap everywhere pretty much. And we went in, took it over. We put 10 lanes in, which is 20 targets for the axe throwing, which at that time was like the biggest one US. So we started with that. It was pretty cut and dry and pretty plain at first. You know, we had some regular fencing, just painted the walls. We needed to get open. So as money came in, we started upgrading. We decorated it. It's very, it's got a log cabin feel now, I would describe it as.
Yeah, it has a huge mural and it feels much more finished in terms of like the woodworking and everything.
Right, yeah. So we redid the front desk with all kinds of wood and just live edge wood, just put some like poly on it, just cleaned it up. And it, right now it looks awesome. So that's the axe throwing. There's behind each axe throwing lane, there's a couple picnic tables. So that's where everybody puts their stuff. That's where they hang out. We used to be BYOB. We currently aren't anymore at that location. We have a full service bar now. So that's brand new within the past 3 weeks. So that's been awesome. That's been going really well for us. So that's inside. When you walk in the Lumberjacks, is that what you see? Then out at our loading dock, there was a parking lot when you came out. And that's where we put sliders. We put a 30 by 40 deck out there. I pretty much bought a giant catering.
Yeah.
Put a pole liner down and pretty much build an ice rink.
Yeah.
And that, so you walk out into the loading dock, you walk into sliders, you're on this ice rink, and then that's when you're in sliders, and that's when you get your curl on.
Yeah. And it's difficult. So the Piper team went out last week. We played, there's a video forthcoming, or it's probably already out by the time people are listening to this, but, AT Hannah versus me and Dan, super competitive, but really challenging to finely tune that target right in the middle of
right.
the thing.
Yeah, those stones are harder to control than like you would think, and it's a short distance. It's obviously not like the Olympic curling.
We would have never scored.
Yeah, no, right. We couldn't let people sweep just because first of all, it's not big enough. We didn't have the room. I mean, if we had more room, we would have made it longer. We did what we could with the room that we had.
Yeah.
But I think it's cooler this way. There's no risk of injury, so you're never really on. You're standing on the ice, but you're also standing on mats, so you don't got to worry about slipping or anything like that. But as far as like getting the stone, like the stones are heavy; they're 40 pounds.
Yeah.
So you got to get the momentum going behind them, and when you let them go, it takes a minute to. It's like anything else doing for the first time. It takes a minute to get used to.
Yeah, totally. So I want to go back to the starting point of okay. There's this industrial building. I think we can get people to pay us to walk in here and throw axes at targets. Where does the inspiration for that come from? Where does the idea come from?
The initial, you sound like my mom when I told her I was quitting my union job to open an axe throwing place. That's kind of the reaction I got. But, so the inspiration came beyond Corey, I have two business partners, Corey DC and Matt Payton. Corey's sister lives in Philadelphia. Corey opened the first escape room in Greenfield. He's no longer a part of that company, but he started that. So she called him like, hey, I know you're into opening different ideas, different concepts, entertainment venues. I think you should come up here and look at this. Because she's a lawyer out there, and they went to Urban Access, it was called, and they were doing a corporate event. So she really liked it, calls Corey, and Corey calls me. We go up the next day. We go up, we play it. We knew it would work immediately. And we just got, we got lucky. Our friend was getting married back in Philadelphia 2 weeks later. So 2 weeks later, we grab a group and bring everybody there. And we just wanted to see like how our friends reacted to it.
Yeah.
And they reacted the same way we did. So we came back and that's where it all started. We came back and started looking for spaces to open up, and Millville has been a blessing.
Yeah.
Millville community has been so receptive to us, from the police to the borough. They're just, they couldn't be better. And then Grist House being, we share a parking lot with pretty much, which is like alleyway/parking lot. But, it was the perfect fit. We have very similar clientele, and we just bounced off each other for the, I mean, they were established. We bounced off them for a while, and then vice versa. It's been awesome for both of us.
Yeah. You can make a whole night of, going to Grist House, getting a few drinks
without leaving an alley in Millville.
To, yeah.
Who would have thought that ever?
Yeah.
So Millville's pretty awesome right now.
Yeah. So in terms of, one of the big things that can be daunting for someone looking to take a step like this is, number one, the idea. You stumbled across this axe throwing idea, but the other part of it can be getting the capital together to do the thing. And you talked about reinvesting some of the dollars that come in from customers to upgrade and refine the experience, and not necessarily like the first dollars that come in running to the bank and doing whatever you want to do with it. How did you go about arranging the capital to start that kind of initial stage of what was going on?
So the escape rooms for Corey were wildly successful, and that was almost 5 years, I think. The first escape room in Greenfield, the one he opened up.
And now they're everywhere.
So Corey funded Corey funded Millville himself. He brought me and him and Matt, our cousins. He called us. He knew he needed a team to do it. He called us and we were like, absolutely, and ready to go. But yeah, Corey.
So you got to basically just get some sweat equity in there. Like you're helping to build it, do the work.
Sweat equity. And then the next ones, it was everybody had their own money. So we all reinvested our own money, and that's how we expanded. But yeah, Millville was $70,000 and right out of Corey's bank account.
Yeah. So as you think about the growth and expansion of it, like one version of expanding is, okay, we've already got the lumberjacks thing. We already have this plot of land. Let's, you know, build a curling rink in the back that we can, you know, find more customers, find more marginal dollars from the people that are already in our world. And then there's also finding other locations and expanding that way. It seems like you're maybe playing a little bit of balance of both of those avenues.
Yeah. So we knew we wanted to expand just because our busy seasons right now. December on with holiday parties is just, it's outrageous. Everybody's doing stuff during the holidays. So after our first December, we knew we had to expand. And that's when we found Mount Lebanon. And we have a location out in Mount Lebanon with six lanes, 12 targets. That's our smallest location.
Gotcha.
So we opened Mount Lebanon, and it just spitballed from there. We then went out to Arizona, and that's when Tempe opened. And then we did Moreauville, Cranberry, and Westgate pretty much all at the same time. So Matt was in Arizona. Me and Corey were back here. And that's, we got all those open. Then we went on Sliders. So when we had the six locations open and we started Sliders. Sliders, where we came up with that idea, we went to the Pittsburgh Curling Club up in Robert Morris.
Yeah.
And we did like real Olympic curl. And it was super fun, very hard, and a little bit dangerous. Just because you're on the ice. You're sliding on the ice, and you have no experience sliding on ice. Like it wasn't incredibly dangerous,
but if people are having a few drinks at Grist House too, right. And like you're the owner of the property, that can be a liability issue.
Right. And we just, that's something like, that's why people can't sweep at one of the reasons people can't sweep in Millville. But we went, we played that, we had a blast. And we did some research. We got online and we figured out, well, who can we buy? Who could build us an ice rink?
Yeah.
Found these guys. They came in. We built a deck. They laid the ice, filled it up with water, and then it froze, and all of a sudden we had an ice rink.
Yeah.
And we had learned how to manage an ice rink, which is a lot more complicated than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Just from the cleaning it to day-to-day basis and everything like that.
Yeah.
But it was, and then on top of that, our liquor license finally went through. So we had a ton of stuff going on in the past, I don't know, year. It was one thing after another, after another, after another. And I mean, that's the best way to do it, in my opinion. It keeps everybody focused. It keeps everybody motivated. So I don't know what's next, but it's going to be something.
Well, if you're managing that type of chaos and you're out opening new locations and doing all these kind of expansion plans, it seems like you really have to have a skill for assembling even the team below you guys. Like when we showed up there and, you know, we shook your hand and said hello, but your team took us through and showed us the space and the game. And
right.
Everything.
Yeah. No, we have a general manager who's been unbelievable. I've known him forever. I've known him for about 10 years, and he was looking to do something new. And he came in, he moved back to Pittsburgh, and we had him be an axe coach. And like he just needed a job. And as soon as he got back, just to get his feet back on the ground, completely overqualified for that job. And then we just bumped him up to manager. And then once we got big enough and enough locations, we just made him the general manager. And we have currently two managers underneath him. So three managers for the four locations. And we do like a bunch of shift leads and then the actual axe coaches.
What's the training for the axe coaching and all that stuff though?
It's just like, it's the same training you would go if you were going to like weight tables or at Bravo or something like that. You know,
a little bit higher stakes though than passing out some pasta.
Right. No, no doubt. I used to weight tables at Bravo. That's what popped in my mind there. But they come in, we put them with a veteran axe coach. We teach them how to throw, first of all, teach them how to throw safely.
Gotcha.
Safety is obviously the most important part. They pretty much follow the axe coach a few times. They do a few groups with the axe coach with them. And then about three or four groups in, they're ready to do groups on their own. And that's when they become the actual axe coach. And it's more like a hosting experience, actual like coach. Cause I mean, they're keeping the customers engaged. They're getting people fired up. It gets very competitive, very fast. And then that's what makes it fun. You think you're just going around, coming down to play around and throw some axes, and next thing you know, you're in a tournament, and you're like, wow, I'm like, this is fun, and like, I want to win this thing. So,
and
people get out there fast.
So that sounds like that's part of the strategy for keeping people coming back. So like, you don't want someone to just come there once and throw an axe. You want them to have a good time, come back over and over. But let's go back to like the founding point when this was just a recently renovated warehouse with a couple lanes. How did you get people in the door the first time? Like, how did you get the word out that this was a thing?
We did some radio at first. It was a lot of social media, but more word of mouth than everything. We got lucky where Millville Days, it's like a festival that Millville has every summer towards the end of the summer. And it happened to fall like right, I think the first or second week we opened. So we just did a free week. So we let everybody that went to Millville Days come down and throw, know that we're there. And then word of mouth has been huge for us.
Yeah.
And we also, word of mouth has been the main thing. Because people come in, people go to work on Monday. Like, hey, what'd you do this week? Oh, I went through an axe. Like they want to tell, even if they didn't like it that much, they're still going to tell you that they did it.
Yeah.
Just because it was so new and so different. So that was big, word of mouth.
That almost feels like the old model of the escape room. Cause I remember when the escape room was new, it was like, oh my gosh, like, what'd you like? Tell me all about it. Like, it sounds so fun. And that's like, as a marketer, that's the marketer's dream, is the thing in and of itself is worthy of talking about. We've been telling people we went curling. Like, it's same sort of idea. Like, you went, what? Where? How does that work? And you then turn your customers into evangelists for what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the people come in. I mean, some people, generally, everybody has fun axe throwing, but there's people come in and they're like, they get addicted, and then they get their own axe, and then they're in a league, and they're going up to different tournaments in Chicago. There's the championships out in Toronto in February, the end of February. So like, I mean, it was on ESPN 2 last year.
Yeah.
So like, they're, uh, it's it's becoming very mainstream, which it wasn't at all in the beginning, which is awesome for us because people see it on TV like, oh, I think there's one of those in Millville. I think there's one of those out in Moreauville.
And that's also why you're keeping that pace of growth. Like, you're not just content, like, okay, we got our two or three or whatever locations. Like, you're kind of pushing the gas a little bit.
Yeah, I honestly think these are going to be like bowling alleys.
Okay.
I think they're going to be around for a long time. I think people are going to, like I said, I think we have 9 leagues running right now.
Yeah.
Between the 4 locations. Well, that's a lot of leagues. There's 30 people in each league.
Yeah.
So I think that's just going to grow. I don't really see it slowing down. I don't see a lot of people say it's going to be a fad. I don't see it that way. I think it's a sport that people compete at and want to compete at a high level while they're doing it.
Yeah.
And then also, we got a ton of press when we first announced we were opening up in Millville, because no one has ever, that was it in Pittsburgh. It was just us. So we went to the Pittsburgh Today Live. We were on everything. It was awesome. So that really got the word out there too.
In terms of the actual business, so renovating warehouse, setting everything up, and then, you know, continuing to invest on the margins here and the actual experience of being there. It seems though, outside of your labor for keeping people, the axe coaches and the manager and the bartender now and what have you, it seems like a relatively low fixed cost venue. You got to heat the building, you know, keep the lights on, pay some insurance, and
it's about some insurance.
I'm sure it's a lot of insurance. Yeah. But in terms of like the maintenance of the wall, like I'm sure eventually that target gets ruined. You put up a new sheet of plywood with some.
Yeah, wood is a major cost. Insurance is a major cost, and labor is a major cost. Those are the three main costs. There's some axe coaching places that won't like give you a coach. They'll just like check you in and let you go like do your own thing for a little bit, which I think is crazy. They don't create any type of experience.
Yeah.
It's almost like going to a driving range.
Yeah.
We don't do that. So you're going to have a coach, whether you do a walk-in, you do the 2-hour group event, someone's going to be there, teach you how to play the game, teach you how to throw, adjust you while you're throwing. Same with sliders too. We have coaches out on the ice for that too. Just to facilitate the whole event and show people let people know what they're doing so they have a good time.
Yeah.
So the labor is we get hammered on the labor. And like I said, the insurance is just astronomical.
Yeah. But for an experience like that, like the basic premise of what you're trying to deliver is, of course, people are going to come in with different skill sets and abilities. You're trying to get them to at least be competent at it. Because if I just throw it 18,000 times and I can't even get to stick in the wall, let alone throw it accurately, like I'm not coming back. That was
horrendous. Yeah, it's a waste of time. Yeah. We're very good at getting people to teach people how to throw. We'll move you. We'll give you a lighter axe if we need to. We'll move you forward. We'll move you back. It's easy to adjust people. Don't get me wrong, there's some people that's coming in and just like, oh, I can't do this, or like, this is stupid. Yeah, I mean, we'll just chuck it, and that'll be, you're going to have those people for anything, for anything you do.
Of course.
Ever. That doesn't happen very often at all. We'll have people go through like the whole practice round and the round robins for the axe throwing, like not doing it very well, just sticking a few here and there, and something clicks and they win the tournament. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
So people want to be good at things, and they're there for the 2 hours. So you might as well get good at it while you're there. And like I said, once you get in that tournament, the competition's on and people are looking to win.
Right on. So the sport itself, you mentioned the championships in Toronto. The sport or the concept for it was created in Canada, and it's apparently much bigger in Canada. Like USA is kind of lagged Canada for adoption. Probably curling is
I was going to say, which one are you talking about? Yeah. These are both from Canada. Canada's been ahead of this. They invented it. They invented it in the backyard out in Canada. They used to have like the backyard leaks.
Do you guys either like have a network, or do you go visit some of these other locations to like steal ideas or get kind of concepts for how to go about running it or anything like that?
We'll go to different cities for the tournaments. And that's where everybody in the axe throwing community is at. And that's where you meet the other owners of the facilities. That's where you meet the really good throwers. The throwers, it's a really tight community.
Yeah.
So like people in the leagues, there's obviously they're talking to each other on Facebook all the time.
Yeah.
So they're pretty tight. And then once they go to the tournaments, they meet each other, and then it's more tight and more tight. But the community of that, the actual throwers, is very tight. But yeah, we'll go to a different tournament. Like we went up to Baltimore for their tournament, meet a few owners, and everybody asked, like, you know, just some industry questions, like, hey, where are you getting your wood from? What is this cheaper? Where's your insurance from? Because everybody's trying to get cheaper insurance.
Yeah.
But yeah, the tournament is pretty much where everybody like comes together. And that's the best opportunity to go take a look at like other venues and meet other people.
Certainly. And I'd imagine that you hate to see this given your sensitivity to the premiums you have to pay for the insurance. But like, even part of the viral marketing of the axe throwing stuff is some of the videos you see on social media of some dingus like throwing it at the ground and it bouncing back up. And then they probably didn't have a coach to tell them what to do. But yeah, it even reminds you that like, oh, people are doing that. Like, I wouldn't mess it up that bad. Like, I'm going to go.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of the main reasons we have a coach in every lane, just because, I mean, I know what video, the main video you're talking about was the girl who bounced it off the rubber and it came flying back at
Yeah.
her. But that girl was actually, she was a league member and she was trying to do a trick shot. So she was trying to bounce it off that rubber and stick it into the target. Barstool's not going to explain that.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
But they're for the clicks, which I don't blame them either. But that's what she was doing. And I don't know. I was furious when that video came out. But honestly, it got everybody talking about axe throwing.
Yeah.
And like I said, we got the coaches in every lane, so that's not going to happen in any of our facilities.
Right on. So from the curling standpoint, do you see that as an eventual, like you went to the other curling club, like do you see that as eventual independent venture, or do you see that kind of as like, how can we attach this to these other axe throwing facilities that we already have in place? Do you see those like as splitting or kind of staying intertwined?
Yeah, I would, like I said at the beginning, talking about Millville, like they're so welcoming and acceptive of like everything we come up with.
Yeah.
So Millville was a no-brainer to start it there, and we had the room. Our other locations are in like retail, old retail spots. So we're in Cranberry. We're in an old liquor store. They moved down a few storefronts. There's room out there. I don't know if Cranberry's going to let us throw an ice rink out back.
Yeah.
If they do, absolutely. I would love to put up the sliders in Cranberry. That being said, it's getting a little tougher with this place, in the spaces that we're going. It's hard to find warehouses like we found in Millville. They're just not lying around everywhere.
Yeah.
So, listen, I'll put a sliders anywhere I can attach it to these locations, because it's such a cool experience, especially like come in, do sliders for an hour, and then you go throw axes for 2 hours. It's a whole night out.
Yeah.
A one-stop shop.
And you got all the booze, too.
Yeah, right. Yep.
What was the process for locking down that license? Like, how many hoops did you have to jump through?
Every hoop you could imagine. Uh-huh. It took a while. It wasn't easy, but it got through. And I don't, pretty much anybody that bought a liquor license, I think everybody has one or two horror stories where during the process, I've never talked to, like I said, I bartended for a better part of 15 years, I bet. And I don't know anybody that was like, oh man, got my license, got open. It was just like that. It was a cinch. That just doesn't happen in the bar industry. So we were prepared for it. We just rode the wave out until we got the news, and then we were ready to go. We had all the everything was put in. So we got the news. We were able to sell liquor and beer and wine, and I went and bought it that day, and we were open. So
no hesitation.
No, I was like, yep, that's all I needed. That's all I needed to hear.
Word. So last question, then we'll aim towards wrapping up. As you've transitioned out of these roles, bartending union job, into owning your own business, having all these locations, inevitably in social groups, when someone kind of, you know, ascends in their success to some degree, stirs up some conversations, I'd imagine people are coming to you for advice or perspective on different business moves. What do you tend to tell them that you've learn through going this pretty significant transition and experience?
It's definitely something different. The bar is the bar I've been ready for. And part of me I always wanted and always assumed at some point I would own a bar in some capacity. So I was ready for that. As far as the axe throwing, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So if you're looking, I mean, if a device, I could just do the research, go to different venues at different places, go out of town and see what the other places are doing, and don't go lease a building and then try to figure it out.
Yeah.
Do the research. You just got to do the research every aspect of the business that you're going into.
Yeah. And so many of the answers are already out there. Not all of them, but a lot of them are between the internet going on location and looking at these other venues.
Like there's, like you said, the answers are out there. You just got to know what you're looking for, and you got to put in the time, and you got to go in it with reality. Like, man, I might not make money here for a long time.
Yeah.
Or for a little bit of time, but you stick to it and see where you land.
So was there a period where you were like 50-50, like still working the job, getting the thing off the ground, and like working nights and weekends to make that happen?
Yeah, I just retired from bartending. I mean, so I quit the union job immediately. It wasn't going to be realistic for me able to do both.
Yeah.
But I just quit bartending, I don't know, 4 months ago. And like we've been open for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I was hesitant to give up it's tough to give up that bar money. Once you're used to it.
Yeah.
It was just recently retired pretty much from the bar game. But then I bought a liquor license, but I hopped right back in it.
Yeah. Can you describe that point of that decision? It was just like breaking, there was too much to do with the business in order to get that done, or it's like we're finally making X amount so that I feel secure, or like how did you make that calculation?
I was getting burnt out. It was more than a burnout thing than anything. The money was great at the bar. One of my best friends owns the bar I was working at, and he was just coming, he pretty much said to me, he was like, dude, what are you still doing here? You know what I mean? And yeah. I kind of needed that like realization, like, what am I doing? I was just such a like, all right, I'm supposed to be here on Saturday night, and I'm supposed to be here on Sunday, and this is where it was just repetitive, like over and over again. And like that, it was just, I was so used to it. And he said that to me, and I was like, man, you're right. And so I think a month later, I was like, all right, I'm done. I had enough.
Yeah. Well, it's an inspiring story. I'm really glad that you came here to share with us. Yeah. If people want to learn more about Lumberjacks, about the ice curling, can you give us both the digital and real life coordinates?
I mean, Lumberjacks is axthrowingpgh.com. That will get you, you could make a reservation through all four of our locations. You also connect to Sliders from the Lumberjacks website. But then we also have a Sliders website, which is slidersbarandgames.com. And then our Instagram, I mean, you catch us on Facebook for Lumberjacks and Sliders. And then Instagram is Axe Throwing Pittsburgh for Lumberjacks, and then Sliders Bar for Sliders.
Gotcha. Cool. We're going to link that all in the show notes. goingdeepwitharon.com/podcast is the place to find it for this and every episode of the show. Also find it in the app where you're probably listening to it right now. But before we let you go, Jack, I want to give you the mic one final time to issue an actionable personal challenge to the audience.
Yeah, I think I would just challenge the audience. I mean, I know people just can't pick up and leave, but I would run up to Cleveland or run up to Cincinnati or go to Baltimore for the weekend. Just go out there and there's cool stuff that's not here yet, or just go to different cities and see what's going on. Check out different cities. That would be my advice to everybody. See what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that advice because there's so many elements. There's so many times where something hasn't yet permeated to your market. And just by getting exposure, getting out there and absorbing, you can be ahead of the curve.
Yeah. Yep. No doubt.
Right on. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah. Thank you.
We just went deep with Jack Welsh. Hope everyone out there has a fantastic day.